Slide one shows an embedded clip showing the impact of a comet on the Earth. This is played at the start of the lesson with no introduction, as a quite dramatic starting to the lesson, hopefully inspiring lots of thinking from the students. At the end of that clip, we move on to slide two, where students are asked two questions, really. First one being a description of what they've actually seen, to see if they can identify what it is that's actually happened, but also an invitation for them to raise any other questions that come into their mind after watching the clip. Time will be given for the students to actually address those questions with each other to begin with, and then we would have a discussion where we would discuss the ideas of students, but without actually providing answers. At the end of that time, we would then move on to slide three, a true-false quiz, where the cover on the screen can be drawn back question by question, with all students actually indicating in their books their ideas. And once again, there'd be an opportunity for discussion at the end of that section, but once again, not giving the answers about whether things actually were true or false, but really just trying to delve into why students think the things that they do. For slide four, we start by actually answering those questions. So for this, the students will have a mini diagram, which they will stick into their book. And as we talk through the information, they would then add that information to their notes. And they'd be encouraged to do that in a way which was very much personal, using images, using colour, using annotations. So the teacher would actually use the whiteboard rubber to rub away at the left-hand side of the screen, which would reveal the key points for the lesson. There's also two hyperlinks in the middle of the page where it says View, which will then allow you to flick to two pages at the end of the actual file, one showing a meteor storm and one showing the actual size of a meteor itself. Now, once students have actually got that information, slide five then asks them to try to apply that, to consider the effect, really, that four different factors would have on the intensity of impact of a meteor strike. Students would work in pairs to discuss this, to come up with their ideas, and to try to justify what their ideas actually were. Slide six is a copy of slide five, but this has then got some boxes where, when you click actually on the box itself, the answer is revealed. And students can then, again, use their mini-diagrams to annotate it to show how those things affect impact. One of the questions that students often ask is linked to slide 7 about the largest impact crater on the Earth. And we show them the picture of Barrington Crater in Arizona. And again, attention can be drawn using this picture of the size of the visitor centre, which can be seen on the far side of the crater. And a question mark about whether this actually is the largest crater on the Earth. And I often ask students at this point whether they can remember seeing pictures of anything that's bigger than that. And of course, none can. However, we then move on to 8, which shows it from above the ground, a satellite image of the crater, and again, it looks very impressive. But then number 9 shows you the site of the largest impact crater on the Earth. So the image of Chicxulub, where what you're seeing in the center of slide 9 is an image taken of the seabed, showing you the huge crater which has been caused by the meteor, which is thought to have brought about the extinction of the dinosaurs. And again, this will be discussed with students about the impact this would have had and the link to the extinction 65 million years ago. Slide 10 simply finishes off the section about meteors by considering the idea of the moon and asking the question, why is it that the moon is so impacted by craters compared to the Earth, whereas it's much smaller than the Earth, and yet we don't see that many strikes? And of course, the answers then come to about the atmosphere, the lack of atmosphere on the moon. Slide 11 is effectively a mini plenary where we can talk through the first five of the questions. Then we move on to slide 12, and slide 12 works in a very similar way to the discussion of meteors back on slide 4. Again, using the rubber to rub away the key information on the left-hand side. And once again, students would take notes in their books, annotating the diagrams as they went through. And in again a similar way to before, we then address the issue of the comet's tail. Students are given the diagram, and again we're giving them time to work in pairs, to look at the information, and to try and see what they actually notice from it. Again, we would discuss that, discuss the outcomes, and students would take notes indicating the impact of the solar wind on the comet. Question 14, or slide 14, is looking at the actual impact that comets can have. And again, there's an embedded clip here of the impact of the Shoemaker-Levy comet hitting Jupiter. And slide 15 then leads us on to, again, a plenary for the section on comets. Now, at this point, I would often also pause and answer any other questions that students raise at the start to make sure that any of those burning questions that they wanted to ask are answered at this stage. A final plenary is shown on slide 16, where we are considering the implications for society of knowledge about asteroids and meteors, and asking them to put themselves in the place of Barack Obama, of David Cameron, of any of the political leaders of the day, and to be able to say, well, what should we do? What should the reaction of governments be to this threat? And again, this is just an opportunity for discussion of applying the facts that have been learned during the lesson. And often I will take the point of asking for a view from a student and then asking other students to comment on that point rather than doing so myself. And slide 17 and 18 on the SmartBoard file are simply the images which are linked to earlier.